Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 21st. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
You like these Frosties?
Love them.
Yeah, I know. So
not.
No.
No,
you don't? Oh,
No.
It.
Actually, I love them. The only part that I have to deal with is defrosting the windshield.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to remember to let the truck warm up enough so
yeah.
It can get rolling.
The car.
Our quote this morning comes from Paul Valery. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Valery. A man is infinitely more complicated than his thoughts.
That's thought-provoking.
Well, that's... I don't know if that's why we do this or not, to provoke, but that's okay. We provoked. So we've got now, about 3-4 more days here, a week plus, before the first of the new year rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on fiscal year.
Yes.
Instead of calendar year. Does January 1st mean anything in particular to county government?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, it's halfway through, for instance, and we will... It's the beginning of the six-month period in the budget, for instance, between then and June. So we'll be starting, we've already started off with the creation of the Measure Z committee. We'll be looking at putting together outreach for budget talks, you know, hearing from the community. So January 1st is, there's a lot that the county takes on at the beginning of the year. The other thing to take into consideration this time around, Brian, is that we're now going to see a change at the federal level. And even though our actions are all locally based, we do deal with federal funding, federal mandates, all of those. So what will that look like? We'll be paying close attention to that and acting accordingly, depending on what comes down.
Don't mean this facetiously, but it may sound that way.
That's all right.
If
thanks for warning me.
The new president moves at the speed of business.
Mm-hmm.
Can county government do the same?
Well, I'm going to raise the flag here, Brian, and say that I think of many of the counties in California, and I don't know about other states, but California, I think Humboldt is already a little bit there. You've got a board of supervisors that has really been very active, wanting to make things happen. Maybe you can't do it at the speed of business, and I think with all due respect to the incoming president, he's going to find some of those, you know, checks and balances, reins, all of those things. They're part of a very, very large structure. But I would say that this board in particular is pretty good at taking on the challenge and moving forward. And I actually read an interview with outgoing Supervisor Lovelace, who was kind of bemoaning the fact that we're working the staff really hard. But that is kind of what this board is about, is like, let's get things done. Let's not just sit around.
I would think references are going to make it challenging.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And as things change, dealing with change.
Yes.
And if it means more output, if that means more action, that means more whatever, it's change.
Yeah, it's change, and change it can be a challenge and an opportunity.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of those changes that we were talking about and alluding to early on are processing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing the same thing just a little bit quicker.
Yep.
Okay, now you can see that's change, or you can see that's pressure, but it's not radically different.
No.
Okay. That's one definition of change. Other things are like new laws that are coming into play.
Yes.
New processes that go on.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff is a different kind of change. Do you have any of those that you're anticipating for the first of the year?
Well, you know, obviously every year we deal with the laws that are passed by the legislature that go into effect in January. If you ask me off the top of my head, I can't think of any at the moment, but I can say that that's something that, you know, just the county government itself will be dealing with. There are a couple of things that were passed actually on November 8th that we're already dealing with that went into effect right away. One of those is the plastic bag ban, and so how do
they... Why is that a pain?
Well, you know, what that means is that the shops now, the stores, will charge for providing a bag, but a part of that law was that the stores take that money and use it to create recyclable bags or whatever, I don't know. So they're
in charge.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that was one of my issues. It was like, you know, wait a second, where is that money going? Yeah. Anyway, bottom line, I actually was approached by a number of people about this. Can you clarify what this means? I said, so yes, we will have a presentation at the Board of Supervisors on what exactly that means. We have some other issues that are going to be coming up with the implementation of the voters' will on Measure V. Locally for mobile home parks, those things. And then we also have the statewide measure, which was Proposition 64, and that is the recreational marijuana. And how will that dovetail with what's already been passed with the medical? And then after that, you've got... you know, things that have already been in works for us but are not yet defined, the community choice aggregate implementation.
Huh?
That's the CCA, which is the county taking over power acquisition, and PG&E being the utility that runs the power infrastructure, but the county actually being responsible for where that power comes from.
So that gives you the flexibility to buy Canadian power if that's cheaper, or New Mexico, or if somebody wants
to make a social
statement.
Exactly.
The solar
cleaner
stuff in the desert.
Yeah. And buy local power. I mean, the biomass people are really interested in that.
Out on the spit.
Yeah, exactly, right here. So local, that could mean a lot for local companies and possibly even local solar power, although that would be a stretch. But, you know, everybody's at least got a chance now if they wanted to go into that. And interestingly enough, I think it will be a little bit more user-friendly, and I don't know quite the details on this yet, but for people who have alternative energy, like they've got solar tiles or whatever on their roof, feeding back into the system. PG&E kind of puts a little bit of a break up on that, but the county can make a different call on that and make it more cost effective for people.
PG&E really isn't inclined to accept.
No.
It's kind of what I've been told.
Exactly.
That early push with, you know, put on the panels and any excess we'll buy back. Actual application, they're not particularly tickled about doing that.
Not particularly tickled, no.
Next.
So yeah, but again, I love your kind of your almost existential question about change. You know, what different changes, what they mean, and I think that some changes, as you said, is kind of more of a rollover, and other is like here is a problem or an opportunity that you have, and now how are you going to deal with it? And we will have a few of those.
At the state, we always hear about the mid-year budget review.
Yes.
Does the county do a mid-year budget
review? Yeah, we do quarterly reports, and we definitely do a mid-year budget review, and we assign, if we have You know, unanticipated revenue, we assign where that's going to go, make decisions on that. We've seen that particularly with Measure Z, but it happens a lot, you know, depending on what gets kicked down to us. If we get payment in lieu of taxes, what they call a PILT money, that used to come from the logging lack thereof.
I like that. Yeah. Remember when, people?
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, when we may or may not get reimbursement from the state, and if we do, we don't count on it if it's not rock, you know, solid. So then if it comes in, we'll think of how we assign it. So
that's not part of the budget process of having like a secondary priority list, and if
yes.
there are monies available, deferred maintenance.
Yes,
is
huge. Well,
I'm thinking of the structures, not the roads.
Right.
The buildings themselves. Okay, anything that comes in this year, we're shooting over there. We need roofs, we need walls, we need da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and here's the worst, and you just...
Mm-hmm.
And that there's no determination when those monies are found to be there. As they come through, you just thumbs up and go. There's
yeah.
no discussion. It streamlines, because it really is part of the budget process.
Yep. Well, you know, that's a really good issue to bring up. We do, every year we have a strategic planning meeting, and that to simplify that again would not be a bad idea at all, so thank you for that. But in the meantime...
It doesn't count until you write it down,
No, it's in Blaine, it's in my DNA. I don't know, really, it means a lot to me, thank you. But the whole concept of strategic planning is that if there is to be an expenditure made, it has to be a part of our strategic plan. So, you know, that is already part of it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35, Talk Shop presented by REDEC, by the Salvation Army, and by CDH Painting. Estelle, one of the things I would think is kind of an intriguing opportunity is when you look at infrastructure and some of the cool things that are potentially there coming up around the corner. The state money, federal money, local money, whatever it happens to be, infrastructure is... Is it becoming something that is seen as a means to an end now rather than just as an investment?
Well, can you clarify that just a little bit more?
Roads in the past have always been seen as an expense.
Okay.
Okay, you don't have roads, you don't have much economy. You don't have any much economy, nobody's here anymore.
Right.
Okay, that's pretty simple. Same thing with technology.
Right.
It's not buying it because it is. It's buying it for what it does.
Gotcha.
And then holding those accountable for the new technology and the roads
mm-hmm.
to be certain that there is an ROI on this stuff. And we
right.
are going to make it happen. And don't play the, oh, we're in government. We don't do return on investment.
Gotcha.
So with some of the new stuff that's being talked about at the state, at the federal, even in local level, or this priority list that you were talking about
mm-hmm.
for surplus funds,
mm-hmm.
at the mid-course, mid-year corrections,
mm-hmm.
is that something that is part of that equation and part of that thought process? Is where's it going to go? How's it going to go there? And this is what we expect or demand from those dollars.
Yeah, well, you know, the biggest thing when you talk about infrastructure is just how far behind we are on it right now. And so any investment in infrastructure is a good investment, in my view. I mean, so whether or not we're looking at ROI, return on investment, don't know. But the bottom line is the return on any investment in infrastructure is a better Humboldt, one that people feel better living in, working in, et cetera, et cetera. So as far as county facilities, there may be a tinge of that for sure. We have an issue down in Garberville where the Vets Hall is completely in bad shape, and part of that was deferred maintenance and also just the design of the building, etc. In the meantime, we've got several other buildings down there that are decrepit, and so we've got a bunch of property and in need for better infrastructure. So can we make those two work together so that the property that won't be used if we go ahead and build a campus can give us some money to fund what we need to do? So those are the things, yeah, you know, you're looking at it financially as well as what it has to do for you. But it, you know, there's only so much you can do in terms of looking at, you can't have any profit in governments, I guess, is what you can do. You can just plan for wise investment. I don't know how to put it.
Well, yeah, you can't shift it, but I would imagine you can have efficiencies.
Yes.
So instead of having a fancy Taj Mahal, you get one of these warehouse buildings,
mm-hmm.
and you throw partitions in.
Mm-hmm.
So you save money and apply it to the next project.
Yeah.
The next project.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No Taj Mahal.
Paying dividends.
Yeah. I mean, not until we're... I don't think Humboldt County is a Taj Mahal type, but I, although there are a few of them out there, but bottom line, you know, if we can make things work, I am all for it.
With the veterans,
for taking those big decisions, people look at it and they go, why can't you just fix the building? Well, maybe that is what we wind up doing, but it's my feeling that the building is in such bad shape that, given what the cost of working on a county, a government building, it's almost better to build something new than to fix what's there.
Yeah, it might make sense in the private sector because you're not having to pay prevailing wage.
Yeah, exactly. You've got prevailing wage and all of that.
I said the word.
Yes, you did. And you have to be, you know, volunteers, yes, for a very small part of the project. But
you can't really use volunteer labor because, if federal dollars are involved?
Exactly. You can't use volunteer. It's very frustrating. When I first moved in to my little office down in Garberville, I was like, well, I'm going to come in and do such and such and such. No, you can't do that. It's a liability. So I've got to get county workers to do the work.
How far does that extend? Can you paint your own walls?
Yes. In fact, I did that in the county. I expected somebody to do it, but I was told I had to do it myself.
Well, I'm glad
you picked
on the short one, not the tall one on that one.
And it looks really good.
Can you hang your own blinds?
Oh, yeah, of course. I have somebody who does the weed whacking for me when the county doesn't get to do it.
Right.
And
so
nobody gives me a hard time about it. Now I've said it on the radio, and I'll probably get in trouble.
Yeah, somebody will light you up. But where does the structural, systematic, bureaucratic, where does it say that line is?
Well, I think when it comes up when you're dealing with contracts specifically. So, you know, you have
you can't do your own roof.
Not really.
Because that's going to be an outside
contract.
That
exactly. Okay. Yeah.
But some of the more cosmetic things you're...
Yeah, exactly. But any time that you deal with a legal contract, you better have everything on the dotted line and follow all of that, because that's where the money is going to come from.
So
and
even
the
though I know you are a crackerjack plumber, you can't put those talents and abilities to use.
Well, interestingly enough, I had a friend look at a plumbing issue, and we just took care of it.
That would be in a nondescript, never-to-be-exposed place.
No.
Just because of potential
issues. No. And honestly, I will say, I've got to say a big shout-out to the staff, because those guys are wonderful, guys and gals. They really do the very, very best they can with what we have.
Now, this is more towards the legal end of things.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, earlier this week you had an opportunity, and we had the news stories last Friday about new deputies, new police officers, the academy graduating.
Mm-hmm.
Does that stuff, is that the sheriff and the undersheriff who worry about that stuff, or do you guys behind the dais also kind of celebrate some of those?
Well, for me, it was a celebration. I was at the swearing-in, as were all current members of the board were there. Supervisor Bass, Supervisor Bone.
No Brown
Act? Supervisor Sundberg. And it was very moving. You know, I mean, I've been to them before. This was a real big celebration, if you will, and also a solemn, because as the sheriff said, we are witnesses to those oaths that are being sworn in, people are standing up there and saying they will, you know, serve the community, protect, serve the Constitution, protect it. And I think that it was really, this one was in particular a very moving ceremony. There were people who were coming in fresh, who've never been involved with law enforcement before, and they happened to recruit them. This is all thanks to Measure Z, by the way, which I thank the voters for and very happy about.
I would think that there's a little bit of an overplay with this also because of all the cop shootings that are going on.
Oh.
That it's a different,
mm-hmm.
it's a different environment now.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had, thankfully,
mm-hmm.
here, but it's almost becoming prevalent. This road rage thing, this 3-year-old getting shot in Little Rock.
I know.
You're driving with grandma because she didn't leave the intersection fast enough and the light changed. I mean,
that's crazy.
Very weird world out there now.
It is a weird world, and we're asking a lot of those who put on the uniform to help us. And I want to give a big shout out actually to somebody who used to work down in Southern Humboldt. Bang Cao, he was shot. He was one of those people shot in an incident in Shelter Cove, along with Sergeant Swithenbank at the time, who was sworn in as a lieutenant today, which is a wonderful thing. And Kenny actually pinned Bang Cao. He left after the incident, and he went somewhere else, but he came back to Humboldt. So a big shout out to Bang Cao, who survived a possibly lethal gunshot wound, left town and came back. So he's saying something good about Humboldt to say that he can come back after that. And thank goodness he did have a bulletproof vest on, because he would not be here if it weren't for that. But he did take his life, you know, he put his life on the line when he went out there that day, and so did Lieutenant Swithenbank. And thank you to everybody out there who does that every day of the week, and we expect them to do it. And we thank the voters for Measure Z that makes it possible to have all those guys. And I went around, I shook everybody's hand, and especially gave a warm welcome to those who have never been in law enforcement before but got through all of the background checks and are putting themselves on the line. So,
do they know who you were? Sorry.
We'll see how long everybody does. But, you know, the sheriff was making the point, you know, that there are going to be some difficult times for these guys, and their family is going to have to remind them what oath that they took this Monday morning.
Cool stuff, but, you know, that's what Christmas week's all about.
That's
Merry Christmas.
Right. Merry Christmas to you, and a fabulous new year. I look forward to seeing
you.
Yeah,
let's have a positive one in 17.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Join us tomorrow for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.